Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, guest, and criminal defense lawyer, Laurie Hellis.
It's official. Alec Murdaugh has formally now filed that motion in state court seeking a new murder trial due to the allegations of jury tampering and some very damning allegations they are if they do turn out to be true. Culleton County Clerk of Court Rebecca Hill alleged to have had improper and possibly influential contact with jurors during the six-week trial. It should be noted, she's still there, she's still working, and she's denying that any of that is true. These are very serious allegations. Laurie Hellis joining us to discuss. Laurie, if this stuff is true, no matter how horrible of a person Alec Murdaugh is from what we know and what he's confessed to already, never obviously confessing to the murders, but the financial crimes, take all that out of there. He is entitled to a new trial, is he not?
Yeah, if those allegations are true, and the judge who hears the motion, which we understand will be Judge Newman, who heard the trial, if Judge Newman believes that those allegations were true, or that jurors could have been influenced by those comments, then I think he is entitled to a new trial. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are a great many people who find this so troubling for so many reasons. I know that there are a lot of people who feel like he's once again skated past responsibility. I don't think that's true at all. But I think that if this case has pointed nothing else out, it has pointed out how difficult South Carolina justice and the influence that many of the people in South Carolina carry has been.
Yeah.
I know that South Carolina isn't by any means the only state where this is true, but it is troubling the level of corruption, the level of control that a small number of people have over the justice system. I think it's particularly troubling that there seems to be this revolving door of law enforcement, legislators, judges, lawyers. They seem to just circulate through the system. Mm-hmm. And one of the troubling things is that most of the legislators, the state legislators in South Carolina, are lawyers. Mm-hmm. And in South Carolina, it is the legislature, not the people, who appoint judges. Mm-hmm. Judges in South Carolina are not elected. They're appointed by the legislature. Many of the lawyers who appear in front of these judges are also the folks who appoint them. And that's it's a very troubling situation.
Yeah.
When you have them sort of fleecing their pockets and protecting one another in a way that feels very suspicious.
It's almost so, the definition of a conflict of interest.
Right. Absolutely.
There. Yeah.
But we see this over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it's very troubling. Alec Murdaugh's lead counsel, Jim Griffin, is a legislator. Mm-hmm. And so he is one of those guys who's playing that game where he's playing both sides. Mm-hmm. And he has a tremendous amount of influence in South Carolina. Now, we don't know whether these allegations of jury tampering are true or not. Mm-hmm. We did hear pretrial that there were several comments about, Alec is going to get off because he can tamper with the jury. He can just pack the jury.
Yeah.
So the idea that there was some influence over juries even before his trial wasn't anything new. Mm-hmm. But what we know now is that potentially it was sort of a third party actor, not the defense, not the prosecution, but the clerk of the court who's supposed to be neutral, who may be responsible for this.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that she spoke out in her book that she wrote, the specials that she's participated in and talked about her experiences. I know some of that has been brought in as evidence of the jury tampering that she's being accused of. Has she publicly said anything in your view that really points out, like, you did what? Like, why are you saying this out loud?
No, I read her book, and she does in her book make a few questionable statements. Mm-hmm. I also understand that she's been the clerk of the court for a long time, or she's worked within the court system for a long time. Sure. She hasn't necessarily been the clerk, mm-hmm. but she's worked within the system a long time. She knows a lot of people. And, you know, people who are friendly to her and through her birthday party. And I mean, it once again is that very almost incestuous relationships among this very small legal community,
yeah,
that do lead you to wonder, mm-hmm. did she have an agenda? Now, you know, Jim Griffin says, well, she wanted her book to be a success. And so she wanted a conviction because she wanted her book to be a success. But the truth of the matter is she and her ghostwriter, her co-writer, actually underwrote that book and self-published it. So mm-hmm. it's not as if she's going to make a tremendous amount of money off that book.
No.
But so you do have to wonder, what was her incentive? What was her motivation in writing the book to begin with?
Well, and I think one of the bigger questions here is, I mean, is this just an isolated incident because it's a high profile case? We're hearing about it. But is just this kind of how things run there at that court in South Carolina, where everybody kind of has their finger in different places where they shouldn't? And, oh, well, yeah, you want to put your influence there? Go ahead and say this or that. This is kind of just how we do things here. And it was obviously called out due to the high nature profile of this case. But I would think this would also call into question any other trial that she's had any sort of involvement with in the past.
Well, that's always the case. So I'm certain that every defense attorney out there is looking back through any jury trial they held and asking themselves, is there any chance that she influenced the jury in my case?
Yeah.
And these kind of cases always create an avalanche effect. You know, they snowball as we realize that if she did it in this case, what did she do in all the other cases? Mm-hmm. It's the same when you find a law enforcement officer who's tampered with evidence, mm-hmm. or you find, I mean, one of the examples I can think of is when I was still practicing, we had someone in our crime lab who was falsifying crime lab reports. And it turned out that turned out to trigger an avalanche of motions asking for retrials in any case where this particular lab worker was involved in testing anything, any yeah. forensic testing. And so it can create that. And it'll be interesting to see whether there are other defense attorneys who are now taking hard looks at jury verdicts and wondering whether or not those verdicts were influenced by Becky Hill.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now